Why don't you say this with me? I say
that
Immokalee,
the
Family Prayer Center,
in
this region of Florida,
is in revival.
The blind see,
the lame walk,
the deaf hear,
the dumb speak,
the dead are raised,
demoniacs are set free,
maimed are made whole.
Thousands and thousands.
Thousands and thousands
are born again
in this revival.
Lift your hands and
thank Him for it.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Worship You, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Glorify You
and thank You
for it, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Do you know
you get
an opportunity?
You
get an opportunity to give
into this.
Well,
the Word says
that in the last days
that they would be preaching,
that
the prophecy
was this, that
gain
was godliness.
In other words,
if you were
in the church
and you were
making
a
prosperous
life
for yourself, and
God does
want us to be prosperous.
But
the doctrine was
this, that gain
was godliness. In other
words, you would know
that God
really
had His hand on
somebody and that
they were really walking
with
God
because they were
prospering.
Let me tell you
something.
Rock stars
prosper.
God
of this world,
He can put
His hand on you and you
can prosper real
good.
You can be a
Christian
inside
of Christ
and
your prosperity
not coming from
Christ
but coming from
a walk of
a sensualness.
That you're just
doing it on your own.
You do the
things of this earth.
Prosperity
will come to you.
So
just because you're
prosperous
doesn't mean the
Holy Spirit's laid
His hand on you and says,
oh, they're
walking where they're
supposed to be walking.
Because look,
they're really gaining.
They're really gaining.
They're prosperous.
No,
the prosperity,
but He says
godliness.
The walk
of the Spirit, a
godliness
with contentment.
In other words,
you're content
to know Christ.
And
it's not
predicated
on how much
you're making or
what you're getting.
He said,
that godliness
with contentment,
that's great gain.
That's
the true prosperity.
Walking
with Christ is the
true prosperity.
And everything
else comes out of
that. Well, guess what?
We
found out a long time
ago around here
is that
we weren't
giving to
get.
In other
words,
God's not a
machine.
I'm not
putting something in
so I can get something
back.
That's not how
it works.
We're
giving out of this
a contentment
that we've been
born again.
Hallelujah.
And guess what?
We want other people
born again.
And that's why
we give.
Immokalee
is saved.
So I'm going to
ask you this morning,
that out of
that place of
contentment that
you just know that
you know
that
He loves you,
and because
of that, you love
Him so much.
Hallelujah.
Would you just search your heart
and ask Him what
He'd have you to give
this morning?
And I'd appreciate
that real well.
Keep
praying for us.
Every once in a while,
we do mention
that we're going to
Africa.
God
slips in on you
to just say, okay,
we'll just
go ahead and write
that $5,000
check this morning.
That
don't,
you don't even have to
say, is that
you, God,
or is that a devil?
That is God.
Now
I sound like them other
preachers that are
manipulating. Don't I?
No.
So
just ask Him what
He'd have to give.
Father, we
just thank You.
We
give You all the
praise and the
grace that comes
from You.
It is
a thing of grace
and giving. It's
not our strength,
but it's by
Your strength.
We're just
asking You to speak
to our hearts this
morning.
And we give
You all the praise
and glory. In
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
So,
I
think everybody got a hug,
but
if you missed,
we're going to put this
out and you could
bring it.
And go
ahead and
let's stand one
more time together.
If you
have something to
bring, go ahead and
bring it down.
And you're blessed.
Hallelujah.
There is
a very
special
person in
here this morning
that
has
went
past
the
endurance
that
Job
walked
through.
This person's
incredible.
They've had to
put up with me
for
36 years.
And this past
week,
my lovely wife. For my pleasure and her endurance, but it's been wonderful.
Hallelujah.
And we really are more in love than we've ever been.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
She's my wife. She's my girlfriend.
Woo!
She's my everything.
Woo!
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Been on a real serious honeymoon for 36 years. Hallelujah. I don't want it to stop. My daughter Davy's saying that's enough. Our church is growing. It's so good for me to look up here and see my children and my grandchildren sitting on the front row. Some of them with iPads getting to play through the service, not listen to Papa, but that's okay. At least they're not interrupting you. And then not only do we have grandchildren, we've got more. Both daughters have buns in the oven. I said we've got to grow this church. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how we grow it. We're going to grow it. Hallelujah. So Davy will find out tomorrow if we've got an X or a Y chromosome in there. It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. I worship you, Father. I glorify you. All I've been hearing it recently, every few couple days, I get a visitation from the Lord, yeah, but also from Homer. And I tell Candy, he's coming over again. He wants to come over and share another. And every time he comes, I just want to say, you know, I told Candy, I had to be honest. I said, I just want to slap him. I'm fasting and I'm praying right now and walking in places and going forward have no quitting sense. The devil tries to stop you and you just keep going, and that's all we know to do. But part of the voice of God to me recently has been this guy keep coming over and saying, I want you to hear what I just got. Well, he come over yesterday and I wanted to slap him, but still I kept listening. How many of you'd like to hear some of that this morning?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I walked up to him a moment ago. I said, Homer, and he jerked. He thought I was God. Well, I kind of am. Come on and share a little bit, Homer. Some of that yesterday stuff. Praise God. They're going to get the pulpit down for you so you can even have more authority. Would you give this great man of God a great big hand?
Amen. Where's Harry or Robert at? Are they hiding?
Yeah.
Let it rain a little bit, buddy. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you and we thank you. First and foremost, for not for what he's going to do, or first and foremost because he's our Father. I used to get up every morning and just go right into tongues and spend hours there, and I still do till the day I die. There's something that I've learned to appreciate just a little bit more than that is when I can, before my feet hit the ground, not asking him for a single thing, just the praise and worship, no matter the place that he created, the place that he gave me and me to offer him adoration as my Father, is second to none. There's nothing wrong with asking the Father. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's nothing more gratifying than to just sit down in my porch in the back, just to begin to, out of my own very own priesthood, just to tell the Father, Christ Jesus, how much I love him. For how long, it doesn't matter. It just feels so good. And then my day starts in the Word, and then praying in the Holy Ghost. It's been an incredible time. the Word of God seems to be, it's unlocking at an incredible pace to me. Not because I'm anything special, far from it, but because I'm just spending good quality time with the Father, reading particular areas that He would have me to read. Right now He has me in the book of Matthew, and I went through John 13 through 17 a little bit, and I'm back through 1 John, but this started about a month ago when the Holy Spirit, and I really want you to hear this with all my heart, especially, you know, we're all called to bring people into the kingdom. Every single one of us is. Every one of us is. But you have to hear this. You have to hear this, especially if your heart is in evangelism, especially if your heart is to bring people into the kingdom. It would be heresy for me to say that we can't minister with our mouth. Surely, there's people out there that need Jesus that the Holy Ghost would have us minister to. Absolutely. But I'm going to teach you as Christ taught me an excellent, excellent, excellent fishing technique to be a fisher of men. The premier, the one and only fishing technique that Christ has taught us, His disciples, on how to be a fisher of men. And my friends, it has not been what the church has been doing for the last 2,000 years. Not even remotely close. What are you saying? Are you coming against evangelizing His word? No, by no means. By no means. I would be crazy to say different. But there is a better way. There is a better way. It's remarkable how before Jesus picked the two sets of brothers to follow Him in Matthew 4. The Bible said that He began to preach the kingdom of God and to heal all manner of sickness amongst the multitude. And then He said, follow me. Follow me. Isn't it incredible that before they started their ministry with Him, He said, follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. And at the end of John, when He told Simon Peter three times to feed my sheep, He told him again, follow me, two more times. So before they got started, He said, follow me. Before He ascended, He said twice to them, follow me. And that went on into the book of Acts, where they followed the Holy Ghost, the Allos, the one just like Jesus, created to live inside of us and to lead us and to testify who Jesus was inside of us. Follow, follow, follow. Follow, never taking the lead. Never, ever, 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 never, ever taking the lead. For 2,000 years, the church has taken the lead. Pastor Bronk said something so vital to me years ago. So vital to me. And I just finally got a hold of what it meant. I've quoted it before. I've said it before, but I didn't abide by it. Until about 2 or 3 months ago, something happened in my spirit where Pastor Bronk said, you preach what you hear, not what you know. The church has been preaching for 2,000 years. We've been evangelizing what we know for 2,000 years instead of what we hear. That's why there's no result. That's why there's no result. Carl, Renee, and Alex, they've testified to the fact, well, you know Homer, you go to Homer, he tells it like it is, but you go to Pastor Bronk, he has a bit more compassion. You know what? Boys, I was wrong. Because you don't tell things like they are. Simon Peter told things like they were, and he was wrong many times before he got born again. You don't tell things like they are. That's rebellion. You tell things as you hear by the Spirit of the living God. I tell things like they are. You're wrong, my friend. That's why there's no fruit. You don't preach what you know, homie. You preach what you hear, because if I preach what I'm hearing, then I'm preaching the word of God by the Spirit of the living God that knows all things, because He is God. Jesus said, follow me and you will be followed. He whispered that to me through the Holy Ghost. Follow me and you will be followed. He didn't ask me to take the lead. He didn't ask me to create my own ideas on what evangelism was. He didn't ask me, go out and create this, do this, draw men in the natural, and then I'm going to come. I'm not against that. I would be wrong to be against that. But that is not the perfect will of God. There's something else that Christ wants to, that's teaching me continually. And how I learned this in the prayer closet, I want to teach you, my friends. It's biblical, and it will pierce your heart if you have an ear to hear. If you have an ear to hear, this will pierce your heart. Because it pierced my heart, and it made me cry and weep, and it made me appreciate people just that much more. This gospel, this walk, is about people. It's not about articulating. It's not about being Facebook preachers. It's about people. It's about loving you out of that eternal life that the Father gave me. That's what I'm called to, love you out of the eternal life, that incorruptible seed that lives inside of me. I'm called to love you and to minister God's word out of that place and out of that place alone. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. It says in Matthew 5, I beg you, listen carefully. I beg you with all my heart. I beg you to listen carefully. The first instruction to the disciples was not to be a fisher of men. That was not. He said, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. Big difference. I sat down from my ministry for a while because I don't want to preach just words, man. Every place in town is preaching words. If I can't have compassion for people, I don't need to preach the word. If I can't love you, all of you, the good, the bad, the gentle, the forward, I need to sit down. So I sat down for a while, and now I know why I sat down. I know why I sat down now. Because my heart wasn't for people. I know why I sat down, and that compassion that I knew I needed, that was in my Father, that was given to Christ, it's finally starting to birth in me. And there's a love for people in my heart that I didn't know existed. I didn't know existed. I didn't know it existed. So Jesus said to them, he said, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. And then he went on to give them the perfect blueprint. The perfect blueprint on how to catch men for the kingdom of God. The perfect blueprint. And it's not what we've been doing for the last 2 years. We've been ministering what we know, what we hear with our mind. And that's why we don't seem to have much fruit to our account. Jesus said, take a little side note, he said, I have compassion on the multitude. Jesus said, I have compassion on the multitude. Do they continue with me for 3 days? And they're like what? Sheep. Having what? No shepherd. He said, I have compassion on the multitude. In the multitude, there was homosexuals. There was fornicators. There was people that wanted to hear him and wanted to be a disciple. There was also adulterers. Anything that we could imagine was in that multitude. But Jesus said concerning the multitude of 10, 15,000 people, concerning them, he said, I have compassion on the multitude. Because they continued with me for 3 days. The Bible says in one gospel, and he healed them. He said, they are as sheep having no shepherd. The multitude, the 10 or 15,000 that are running around, they're chasing me, following me as sheep having no shepherd. I know what I'll do. So I'll have compassion on the multitude. I'm going to do all that I can. If they're running around as sheep having no shepherd, I have compassion on the multitude because I want the sheep to have a what? A shepherd. So he had compassion on them, a God-filled compassion in his spirit towards the multitude. And he, not only did he want them saved, but he had the same compassion to want them healed. That's what it's going to take. Not words that we know, unmeditated words, ministering God's word. You can't get people to heaven telling them they're going to hell all the time. You can't. It's unbiblical. He told the woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more. Let me get back to what I was going to say originally. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fisher of men. The first thing he said in Matthew 5, and I don't have my Bible with me, so I got to remember it. So if I quote something wrong, don't stone me. He said in Matthew 5, the first sermon recorded, whether it was to the 12 in a private setting or whether it was to the disciples in the multitude, I don't know, because it's a little, it's not confusing. Just because I can't figure it out doesn't mean it's confusing. That just means I haven't prayed it out yet. He said, teaching us to be fishers of men, teaching me and you, those that desire to be disciples, he began to teach me and you, give us a perfect blueprint on how to be a fisher of men. It says in chapter 1, you can go to Matthew 5 if you want. He said in the first verse of Matthew 5, and Jesus said, he said, and seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, this is a part that I don't understand, but it's really not a big deal. He said, and seeing the multitude, 10 or 15,000, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, he saw the multitude coming. Maybe there was a bunch of them. He went up into a mountain. The Bible says that disciples, either his disciples went up to him on the mountain or they drew near to him on the bottom of the mountain. I don't know, but that's immaterial. He said, and seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him and he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, now, in chapter 4, he said that he began to teach the kingdom of God and to heal all manner of sickness. So what's the first thing he said? He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the what? Kingdom of heaven. The very kingdom that he began to teach in Matthew chapter 4, pertaining to the kingdom of God, he starts out saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. Basically saying, blessed are you that know that you need a change. You know your lifestyle is not where it needs to be. Blessed are you that are poor in spirit, that say, I live like this. I need a Savior. I'm going to follow that man, Jesus. He says, blessed are you, because the ones that choose to follow me, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. So then he begins to teach the kingdom of heaven that Matthew recorded in Matthew 4 that he was teaching. He began to teach concerning the kingdom of heaven. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I really want you to listen. I beg you. This will help you. I'm not telling you not called to evangelize. We're all called to evangelize, but there's a proper way to evangelize. A Holy Ghost-filled way to evangelize. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Why did he say mourn? Well, I'm not going to go into that right now. He said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Then he began to talk about the fruits and the works of the kingdom. He said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the what? The earth. He said, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, who desire the word of God for people. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. When he said, blessed are the meek, what did he say? Follow me and I'll make you a fisher of what? Follow me and I'll make you a fisher of what? So who do you think he wanted me to be meek towards? Who? Men. And towards his word, of course. You can't be meek towards his word and not be mean towards meek towards people. He said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. He said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those that desire so much God's word, for they shall be filled. He said, blessed are the merciful. He said, follow me and I'll make you a fisherman. Merciful towards who? Men. He said, blessed are the merciful. You shall receive mercy. He said, blessed are the pure in heart. Talking to me and you, teaching me and you how to be fishers of men. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? See God. Blessed are the pure in heart towards who, my friends? Towards who? Men. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. Peacemakers towards who? Men. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called what? Children of God. So this gospel, the kingdom of heaven, is about taking people home with us. It's about walking according to the kingdom lifestyle, the kingdom, according to kingdom ways. He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. I understood all that. I understood that. But that was kingdom lifestyle. I understood that was the ways of the Father, the sayings of Jesus Christ in the latter end of Matthew chapter 7. I understood that those were his sayings. But this is the part that got me. This is the part that brought me to it made me cry for days. I just cried and I cried and I cried. And I cry all the time and I'm sorry. I just cry. I've just been crying so much. My prayer is that he just continue to purge me, because I don't want a ministry full of Homer. I've got to have a ministry full of the Holy Ghost, or else I just need to sit until I feel him coming on me. A ministry full of ourselves is nothing. It's vanity. It's vainglory. It's nothing. We got to empty. And he says something so remarkable. He said, blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. For yours is, or theirs is, the kingdom of heaven. Now, you know what we're contending for here. Who wants to be persecuted, man? Who wants to be talked about and slandered? Who? I don't. I'd rather much everybody just be nice to me, as you would too. But if you're truly preaching the kingdom of God and you're truly preaching for Jesus, that's never going to be the case. In fact, Jesus promised the apostles, look, you're going to be killed. You're going to be persecuted. He didn't promise them a $150,000 car in return for their love for him. Modern day church does that. He said, I promise you one thing, you're going to suffer persecution. Oh, and by the way, guys, you might be martyred. You might be martyred. Simon Peter, when you were young, you used to gird yourself. When you grow older, someone's going to gird you. And they went forth when they got filled with the Holy Ghost and gladly died for the cause. Jesus did promise us that. There's a glory that comes with following him, but he promised us persecution. He guaranteed it. They'll kill you. They'll persecute you. They did it to me. Why wouldn't they do it to you? A servant is not above his master. He said, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now we're contending for a revival here. And the glory is going to come. We know that. This isn't your ordinary church. This is what I believe with all my heart, that we abide in the apostles' doctrine, which was the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe that with all my heart. Whether people believe it or not, it doesn't matter to me. I don't argue this anymore. It's not meant to argue. It's meant to live out. So let's say that the glory's fallen and the multitudes are coming here, getting healed. The elders are operating in the power and might of the Holy Ghost. So an unbeliever of any type of organization, I'm not going to say any names, decides, we're going to pick on Pastor Bronk this morning, decides to go to the shepherd of the church our shepherd, our pastor. Pastor Bronx walking with integrity. He's leading us in this revival. He was leading an epistle for 20 years, and then the glory falls. You know, the Pharisees were just flat out jealous because of what Jesus was doing, basically. So somebody rises up and begins to start a rumor about Pastor Bronk and Miss Candy. Starts a rumor. He said, blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Then after that, right after that verse, this part got me too. He said, blessed are you when you're reviled and persecuted and cast out and talked about as evil for my name's sake. What did he say after that? Falsely. Falsely, my friends. If I'm accused falsely by a Gentile or by an unbeliever, if we are accused falsely, then we have a chance. But are the accusations against our lifestyle in Christ, the accusations against what we stand for, they have to be false. They can't be true. They cannot be true, because if they are true, there's no glory in that to the Father. He receives no glory about accusations about me and you being true to an unbeliever. When he makes those accusations publicly all over Facebook, if he goes all over town and he accuses us and persecutes us and they're true, there is no glory to the Father for that. None whatsoever. First Peter is clear on that. There is no glory to Christ, the Son of God. There is no glory to God the Father when accusations against me and you are true. We've lost all credibility. No seed was sown into the one that accused us, because he was just in his accusations. But what if those accusations are false? The one that says Pastor Bronx leading us in this revival starts a rumor about Pastor Bronx. Starts a rumor about his wife, about Miss Candy. Pick on Miss Candy. Starts a rumor about Miss Candy just because they're envious of the glory of God that's falling here. Just because Satan sowed in his mind to start this rumor about Miss Candy. He starts a rumor. Worst case, I'm going to make it bad. Let's say he didn't start a rumor. Let's say that he saw Miss Candy with another man at a park talking somewhere. Or started a terrible rumor about her, that Miss Candy was in adultery, that she was a fornicator, that she was a hypocrite. But let's say Miss Candy was doing it. Let's say she was doing it. The wife of Gary, Pastor Bronk Flint, the revivalist in Amagi that's led 300,000 to the Lord, is in adultery. You want to know something? That'll make the paper. No, that will make the paper. Satan will make sure it makes the paper. So the guy starts the rumor. Not a rumor. It's true. He saw her. He did see her. This writer has 100,000 followers on Facebook. And Satan will see to it that this writer puts this down on Facebook. Now 100,000 people know it. And they got friends on Facebook. And they will, before you know it, millions upon millions will know that the little revival in Immokalee, Florida, where they're getting out of their deathbed, where the dead are raised, where the blind are seeing, now it's going to be exposed. That Pastor Bronx's wife is in an adulterous affair just to shut this thing down. So let's say it's true. Let's say she is doing it. Does God get any glory there because of her conduct? No glory whatsoever. She suffered as an evildoer. She suffered as an evildoer. When we're evildoers, there is no glory to God the Father for that. None whatsoever. None. On the contrary, he gets blasphemed. So the unbeliever was just. He's unregenerate. He doesn't care about judging somebody, about putting their business out openly. He was just. He accused her of being an adulterer. Pastor Bronk found out that it was true. There's no glory in that to God. But Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. And he's given me and you a perfect blueprint on how to bring society to the cross of Jesus Christ. So what if we all know Miss Candy? I know her. If somebody started a rumor about her, I'd walk away and laugh because I know her. Pastor Bronk would laugh because he knows her. Miss Candy would be content because God knew the truth and because her husband knew the truth. That was enough for her. But what if she was accused, persecuted, reviled? Her name was cast out as evil and talked about for his name's sake falsely. What if a million people found out that there was this revival going on in Immokalee, where the dead were being raised, where arms were extended, where homosexuals were giving their life to God? What if they heard about this and this writer started a rumor falsely about Miss Candy? And one day, this man that started a rumor about Pastor Bronk's precious wife blasted her on Facebook. It was all over the local papers because of the glory of God that was falling here. I hate what's going on there in Immokalee. I'm mad at God. I've never believed in God. I'm going to stop that movement. Satan whispers to that man, I'm going to stop that movement. I'm going to stop that movement. I'm going to stop it. Even if I got to bring accusations, I'm going to stop that movement. So he reviles Miss Candy throughout the whole papers. A million people know on Facebook that Miss Candy supposedly is an adulterer. If that accusation against her was false, then we have a chance. Then she has a chance. To who? So one day she walks at Winn-Dixie, and this man, lo and behold, is there that has persecuted Miss Candy. He's there. He sees her coming and begins to fidget because he knows that the accusations were false. He wanted them to be true, but they were false. So he has no choice but to walk right next to her. Most Christians would let him have it. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm a child of God and I walk in love, and you're a liar. Oh, yeah. I'm covered by the blood, and you're a liar. Believe it or not, 9 out of 10 Christians, we feel we have an obligation. We feel we have the right to defend ourselves. I always said, mess with me if you want to. Mess with my kids. It's on. No, it's not on. It's off all the time. It's off all the time. When we're reviled, we never revile back. When we suffer, we commit to him who judges righteously, by whose stripes we were healed from strife. We never have the right, the spiritual right, to revile back. We think we do because we're yet not being transformed completely to his word, but we never have that right. We don't have that right. Why? Because the one reviling us need Jesus too. So this man sees Miss Candy walking the store. There's too many people there, and he has to walk next to her. He's expecting her to do what 9 out of 10 Christians do. He's expecting to hear a mouthful from Miss Candy. Miss Candy sees him walking, and he's walking towards her, and he's fidgeting. He's looking down. Miss Candy goes to him, just smiling away. She's singing praises to Jesus. She sees the man and she recognizes him. She calls him over. He's expecting to be treated like Christians usually treat people. He's expecting that. He's bracing himself. She goes to him, singing so full of the Holy Ghost. Remember, he accused her falsely, trying to stop what we're contending for. So he comes to her expecting the worst. I'll reiterate, like most Christians would react, he's expecting to get a handful, an earful from Miss Candy, but she walks up full of the Holy Ghost. Hi, I'm Candy Flint. And I want you to know something, sir. I love you. And there's nothing you've ever said about me. It doesn't matter. See, the Jesus that I serve, the Jesus that gives me peace, sir, is the one that loves you. Sir, can I give you a hug? What? Can I give you a hug? Just a hug. Can I hug you? Yeah, I guess. She hugs him. And all of heaven and all the compassion of the Holy Ghost inside of her. She's walking in joy and love and peace, and she hugs him. She just sowed a seed in the man's heart that accused her falsely. Follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. The one that reviled her falsely was a man. Follow me, Miss Candy. And the one that reviled you, that persecuted you, he deserves the blood of Jesus too. He deserves salvation too. But if his accusation would have been true about Miss Candy, all credibility on her part to win that man over would have been out the door. But the accusations against her were false. They were false. And she handled that accusation through the incorruptible seed, the word of God, the glory of God that abides in us. She handled it according to the ways of the kingdom. She was reviled. She was persecuted. She was cast out as evil. Her name was blasphemous, talked about falsely. He said, blessed are ye, blessed are they who, when they're persecuted falsely, he said, blessed are you when you're persecuted and reviled and your name is cast out as evil falsely for my name's sake. He said, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, Miss Candy. When you're reviled falsely, Miss Candy, he said, rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for great is your reward in heaven. Then he said, so did they, the prophets which were before you. He said, you are the salt of this earth. You, Miss Candy, are the salt of this earth. If the salt had lost its savor, so wherewith shall it be salted? Is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of man. Miss Candy was a salt that didn't lose its savor. See, she extended mercy, the same mercy that he asked me to walk in the verses before. She extended the mercy of God towards that man. She was meek towards that man. The very thing that Jesus Christ asked her to walk in, she fulfilled it. She was pure in heart towards that man that reviled her. She extended the blood of Jesus to him. She was a peacemaker with that man that didn't know Jesus, that reviled her falsely. She sowed a seed that day of what the kingdom of heaven was. Miss Candy, you are the salt of this earth. If the salt has lost its savor, wherewith should it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under foot of man. Then he said, Miss Candy, a city that's set on a hill, it cannot be hid. He said, no one lights a candle, Miss Candy, and puts it under a bushel, but they put it on a lampstand. Listen to this. This is a latter part, and I'm almost done. When you light a candle, You don't light it to put it under a bushel or under a bed. You light it, you put it on a lampstand so that it can be seen by all that are in the house. Then he says something so remarkable that goes with what I just taught. He said, let your light, so what? So shine before what? Before who? Did he say, let your articulation so consume men? Is that what he said? Did he say, let your Bible verses that you quote, despite, out of anger and out of remembrance, let that win men over? Is that what he said? He said, let your light, what light? The light of heaven that abides in me and you. When you're merciful, you let your light shine. When you're meek, you let your light shine. When you're a peacemaker, you let your light shine. When you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you let your light shine. When you're pure in heart, you let your light shine. When you're persecuted for my sake, you let your light shine. And it never stops shining. Never. Why? Because you are the light of this world. He said, you let your light shine before men. Listen to this now. Listen to this. We think often, I thought often that my much articulation, I thought often that what I said, and sometimes it is, I'm not disannulling that. I would be wrong. It would be heresy for me to disannul that we can't preach the gospel with our mouth. No, I would be wrong. But he said, let your light so shine before men. What men? The one that reviles you, your enemy that can't stand you, your brother that transgressed against you. Let your light so shine before him. But more than anything, he's talking about those that are unbelievers here. He said, let your light shine before men, before men. But you got to comprehend the latter part of that verse. Let your light so shine before men. Miss Candy, why, Jesus? Why? Miss Candy, follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. I've asked you to be merciful towards men, Miss Candy. I've asked you to be meek towards men. I've asked you to be pure in heart towards men. Peacemaker. I even said, Miss Candy, if you get persecuted, you're reviled and cast out, your name is evil, falsely for my name's sake, it's about men. He said, let your light so shine before men. Listen to this. Let your light so shine before men. Let your lifestyle, not your mouth. Let your light so shine before men that what? That they, the man that's reviling you, the man that's persecuting you, the man that hates you, the man that despises you and reviles you, that they may see your good work, Miss Candy, and what? Glorify your father. Glorify your father. See, her father was not his father yet. But Miss Candy manifested forth the glory and might of love of her father to a man that didn't have a father. So this guy says, my God, there's the woman that I persecuted. Millions upon millions heard this lie that I wrote about her. And she just came up to me and told me she loved me and forgave me. I heard her preach this man named Jesus, and I hated hearing her, so I said, I'm going to ruin her life. The only chance she had of winning that man over is being accused falsely. We can't be accused anymore of being adulterers and fornicators. We can't be accused anymore of being drunkards, man. We've been born again. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify. Let them glorify our Father in heaven. How are they going to glorify him? Because they seen him in me. They seen him in me not only when things were good, but when every persecution and lie and raiding accusation was against me, I stood my ground because I knew that they were at stake, that their hearts were at stake. We cannot win them over preaching what we know, but living out what's in that incorruptible seed. So we want to be evangelists and missionaries and et cetera. That's fine. That might be our calling. But you better be in love with people. With all people. With the good, the bad, the gentle, the forward, and the evil. Because your articulation has done very little up to now. Neither has mine. But when our lifestyle is that of the kingdom lifestyle, when we're revived because we're living for Jesus, we sow seeds, even to those that persecute us. And when they see us, we treat them with love. That gives the Holy Ghost all the permission in the world, all the authority in the world to go get them. He said, let your light so shine before men. Why, Jesus? God wants you to be a fisher of men. Follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. Let your light so shine before men, Homer. Why, Jesus? That they may see your lifestyle and glorify me, the one that you swear allegiance to, and glorify me. Let me tell you something. When a sinner begins to glorify God, he's that close to the kingdom of God through our lifestyle. Not by our articulation. Not by the way that we preach or teach. But first and foremost, when we operate out of the eternal life of God that's inside of me and you. When Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. He said, if you have love one for another. This is what he's saying. It's when you operate out of that eternal life, out of that incorruptible seed only, when you operate out of that engrafted word, the book of James, when you operate out of that unction, 1 John, when you operate out of that, that is the love that I'm sending you out into the world to win the world with. That love, that operation is only internal in our spirits. We cannot afford to minister God's word out of our intellect. We cannot afford to. In all essence, it's not biblical. We are called to operate God's word out of that incorruptible seed. And if I operate, if you operate out of that incorruptible seed, they will start lining up to give their lives to the man named Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and the man that you let your light shine in front of, they're going to say what the Roman soldier said at Calvary. Of a truth, this was the what? The Son of God. Of a truth, Miss Candy, you're different. Miss Candy, can I ask you a question after she gave him the hug? Can I ask you a question? The man says to Miss Candy, this is what we're after. After she embraced him in all of heaven and the comfort and love of the Holy Ghost, and she hugged that man, told him she loved him and God in his ear, and he backs up and he begins to weep because of the convicting power of God that's consuming him, and he backs up in awe. He has to take out his hanky, begins to wipe the tears off of his eyes. Miss Candy's just sitting there, standing in front of him in the meat department at Winn-Dixie. He looks at her intently as she's happy that she finally gets to meet him, to let her light shine. She's happy she gets to meet him. And he's looking down, still a little bit ashamed, because he met this wonderful woman of God that he reviled for so long, that millions upon millions knew of what the accusations against her were. And he backs up. And he sees her. She didn't articulate. She didn't preach. Not that there's anything wrong with that. That's not what I'm saying, God. That's not what I'm saying. She didn't articulate. She didn't even quote any Bible verses. But within herself, she said, before she saw that man, she said to herself, and I'm almost done, this was the secret to their meeting. She said to herself, she remembered the scripture herself, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed until the day of redemption. Let all wrath, clamor, anger, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake forgave you. And be imitators of God as dear children. Ephesians said, and walk in agape, in love. So she remembered that. She didn't quote it. She quoted it to herself because she knew this moment was coming when she saw the gentleman. So she overwhelms him with her love, with the love of God, with the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. It starts consuming his heart. The Bible said, you're blessed when you're reviled. So he backs up. He's crying. You probably say, my God, what have I done? What have I done? Of a truth, this lady that was on TV singing about Jesus, about this Jesus of Nazareth, I would see her expression on TV. She seemed so happy, and it made me so mad because I lost my baby when he was 2 years old. So he hated God. So he would see Miss Candy talk about the goodness of God via stream, or the revival was so big or whatever. He saw her and he hated her expression. So he reviled her, and all these years he slandered her. So they finally meet face to face, the one that reviled her, and she treats him with the same mind that he heard her talk about from the pulpit when she led us in worship. And here she is embracing him and whispers one word in his ear, I forgive you, my brother, I love you. No articulation, no preaching, no Bible verse. But she let her light so shine before men. What man? The man that reviled her. Why, Jesus? So they may glorify me. Let your light so shine before men that they may glorify your Father, her Father, that he may glorify her Father, that the sinner may glorify her Father, that the sinner may glorify and her Father. So he backs up again, and I'm done. He's crying in tears. She's just there, so happy. She got to forgive him face to face. It's not that she walked in offense, but she was so happy to let him know, I loose you, your trespass. I won't grab you by the throat and lack compassion. I loose you. I loose you, friend, your trespass. She said it to herself, I loose you, your trespass. See, Miss Candy knew that she had been forgiven much when she got born again. I loose you, your trespass. So here he goes again. He's still crying. He's 5 minutes standing in the same place. And he looks at her. And he says to her, the woman who let her light shine before men, the woman that brought God glory through her conduct. He looks at that woman. Probably says to her, I know I can't ask you for any favors. I know I don't deserve to ask you a question or to ask this wisdom of you. But Miss Candy, what must I do to meet this Jesus? What must I do to be saved? The fact that she was accused falsely still gave her a chance to win that man over. Because if she conducted herself accordingly to the word of God, and the accusation was false, her reputation was not tarnished in God. She was just reviled the very way that Christ was reviled. And any chance of winning that man over was out the door. Sir, will you give me your hand? Body shaking. Yes. Just repeat after me. Okay. Say, Father, Father, I come to you today. I come to you today. A sinner. I'm not turning back around. That's too much turning around. I come to you today, a sinner. I come to you today, a sinner. And I ask you, Father. And I ask you, Father. This is what we're after. The perfect blueprint to be fishers of men. The perfect blueprint. We're almost done. Say this after me. Say, Jesus. No, I'm talking to the man. Gosh, man. But you know what? You can say, repeat after me. You're going to be the man that's not saved. Say, Jesus. Miss Candy, don't say this part. Miss Candy begins to cry because she knows what's coming. She knows that God's going after the sheep that's gone astray because of her conduct. So she says to him, sir, please say, Jesus, I come to you today, a sinner. Jesus, you are the Son of God. Jesus, you are God. Jesus, this is what we're after, man. This is what we're after. It can't be done through no other way than operating out of that incorruptible seed. It can't be won any other way but by me and you operating according to the eternal life that abides in us. It can't be won any other way. We can never lose the mindset that we're always to be disciples to the day that we go home. We can't afford to talk and say things that are unmeditated to push people farther away from the kingdom. People are one no other way than to walk in the agape of God through the eternal life that abides in our spirit. So she says again, say, Jesus, I come to you today, a sinner. Jesus, here we go. This is what we live for. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. And be my Savior. Today, Jesus, my sins have been forgiven. And I am a child of God. God, today, you have been won. I have been won to the kingdom, and you are my Father. All because one saint, don't say that part, prayer's over. All because one saint chose not to beat somebody up with the Bible, not to speak words that were unmeditated, not to speak what she knew, but to speak what she heard. All because one little old lady, Pastor Bronk's wife, chose. I didn't think that was funny, to be honest with you. I was sincere. I was being sincere, but okay, I'll take it. All because one lady. All because one person, then maybe you won't laugh at that. Because one person chose to walk according to the kingdom of heaven. He said, let your light so shine before men. I've never in my life seen a light that talked. If you have a talking light bulb in your house, put it on the market. You're going to be rich. He said, let your light so shine. Lights cannot articulate. Lights shine in the midst of a dark, perverted society. Let your light so shine before men that the men that persecute you, that the men that aren't saved may glorify your Father, Miss Candy, and my Father. And when they glorify Him, they're this close to the kingdom of heaven. It's time to humble ourselves, to follow Christ, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to what? And to what? Follow Him daily. Before it started, He said, follow me. During our discipleship, He said, follow me. And towards the end of John, He said, follow me. He even said, follow me in the days of King David in Psalms 23. The following process, it never, ever ceases. Good ideas, my friend, cast them out the door. Go head first into that secret place that Jesus talks about. Close the door and pray to your Father which is in. And your Father which is in heaven will reward you what? Openly. All we're after is the heart of God. And when we're so saturated in Him, winning them over into the kingdom, He will add to the church such as should be added. He will add to the church. Now, we are always also to evangelize God's word when we feel the Holy Ghost. When you feel the leadership of the Holy Ghost. When you feel the unction of the Holy Ghost, if you feel it, you're still following His lead. Following His lead, it never, ever stops. That, my friends, is the perfect blueprint. The perfect blueprint on how to win over society. Amen. Pastor.
Praise God. Lift your hands and we just worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glorify you. We praise you, Jesus. So I wonder if I could get these. Get this. It's a great outpouring coming, and it's going to begin in that place where the Spirit was just describing to us about that place of love. Now, most of all of our evangelism takes place with those who know us the most, and that's our family. So guess where most of the accusations are going to come from? Most of that accusing and all those kinds of things. Guess what? When you choose to walk in love with them, you've got the greatest opportunity ever to get them born again, to get them saved. Why don't you stand with me? A lot of you are standing in here this morning waiting for God to do something in some of your loved ones and a walk with them that you've been having trouble with. You know, that place starts first with you. Doesn't start with them. It starts an adjustment inside of you, and that's where you begin to lay them down at the foot of the altar and say, Lord, it doesn't matter what they've been saying or what they've been doing. I choose to walk in love. Guess what'll happen? He'll be able to go ahead and do something on their side. It begins to change their hearts. It begins to change their hearts. Guess what? Now, this doesn't take away from any of that other. That's the perfect. What you just heard was just absolutely perfect. Some of you are thinking, what about when the accusations, when there is something? Guess what? In that case, there's the blood. In that case, there's the blood. So you can change. You can go ahead and change, and then you can change them. Hallelujah. By your walk into Him. Guess what? He wants us to claim those loved ones more than ever before. Those things that they've been holding against us, they're not going to be able to hold against us any longer. Hallelujah. If you're standing real strong for someone and you know it may be for their salvation, it may be just for a walk of love with them, and the enemy's really been pouring something on in that relationship in recent days, and you're standing for them, why don't you just come on up here and stand with us for just a few moments? Go ahead and step out, because I just believe He's going to do something this morning. Hallelujah. Some of you are coming. Come on. Hallelujah. He wants to change some things in some families. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Marty, give us something to worship before we go out of here. That's you. You're standing for some loved ones, and you're standing for some relationship kind of deal. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glorify you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Andakadasono. Jesus. Do you stretch your faith towards these? Jesus.